He showed me that. Two times he showed me that. And he said, you know how to work that? I said, yes, I do. And I guess I really don't. But we're thankful for this opportunity once again to be back with you here at Grace Missionary Baptist Church. Still got my turns sort of mixed up when I'm coming down the big road and looked for the little roads, and one or two of them's not marked. And I said, now I'll never find where I'm going because two roads are not marked, or I don't know where the signs are. But I've got people watching over me. My wife, you're not recording yet, are you? Oh, my goodness. I'll get ready to go somewhere, and my wife will say, you going like that? And I said, no. I would just check and see if you were paying attention. So we have a good time at my house, at our house down there, and we're thankful. We're thankful for our wife, and she is with her dad this morning at Faith Baptist in Quincy, Kentucky, so you pray for that service as well. We want you to get a Bible if you'd like to follow along and turn to 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, and y'all have heard me preach two services here, and I do want to certify to everyone here that I'm a true believer, that the gospel is what saves. I believe that the gospel has to be preached in order for anyone to be saved. The gospel are the words of life, as far as I'm concerned, sent from God to a people that he has called unto himself, that we might spread the gospel to other people. The gospel is not to remain in the church. The church is supposed to take it out, and the church is supposed to use it. But after we trust in Christ, that's sort of maybe our, if you want to title the message, after we trusted, we've trusted Christ. There's a few things we want to look at, and you all know my messages are not real long, 30 minutes at the most, usually. If you want a longer message, let me know, and I can lengthen them out a little bit, but a lot of people say, we liked your message. It had a good beginning, a good ending, and not much in between. But we hope that's not the case, and we're pretty sure it's not. But in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2 and verse 11, and we want to read down through verse 14, and it says, for what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but with the Holy Ghost teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, the Apostle Paul's preachings and teachings in the day and time, there are probably a lot of Baptist churches in our land today that would not allow the Apostle Paul or any of the apostles or the Lord Jesus Christ to stand behind any of their pulpits and preach and teach the things that they taught in their day. When Christ was here, he preached the gospel. He preached the gospel, folks, and he called those. Was a fisherman, but yet he called him. He knew that there were tax collectors, yet they called him, and he called them by name. So to whom the Lord about the things of God that you could ever read about in the Scriptures. Folks, they were confused about marriage. They were confused about fornication. They were confused about adultery. They were involved in all things. And they were... And it just... Among one of God's people shouldn't be mentioned, folks. Say, well, you know, it's all they've got law. Well, folks, when the law goes against the law of God, the land is not valid. Say, now you're just preaching dissension, preacher. You're trying to cause a demonstration. You're trying to cause trouble and everything else, and y'all church people act like you're so much better than anyone else. One thing is for sure, folks, or two things, we're not better than anyone else, but we folks, we have to realize the Scriptures means what it says. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that we're all before God. And we've gotten to the point where everybody wants to blame everyone. Say, well, now, have you got any proof of that in the day and time that we live? Folks, we can go all figure that out. We can see when that happened. And God, you know, in the book of Genesis over there, the Lord came and said, now, get this, folks. When God came to Adam in the cool of the day, you know, I just thought about that. You know, God, we won't be allowed to do that. We just won't be allowed to do that. But there was a time when God came to man in whatever form he was in, but he walked with God in the cool of the day. And he said, what have you done? And you know, Eve said, well, it was a serpent. And Eve said, he beguiled me. You got to watch out, folks. That's what he does. He didn't stop with Eve either. He beguiled him. He fooled me. He tricked me. And he told me that I would not die. Said, well, she committed the first sin, didn't she? And God went to Adam and says, what is this thing? Well, what have you done? Why are you hiding your nakedness? What did you do? Why are you so fearful of me? And Adam, like mankind does, Adam said, Lord, it's that woman's fault. It's that woman that you gave me. What was on his mind? What was in his heart? He was trying to answer to God for somebody else's sin, but not his own. That woman you gave me. Well, I tell you, you know us men, we are brave when our wives are not around, aren't we? Boy, we talk about them just like I did this morning. We are so brave when they're not around. And I'll tell you one thing, I don't know what I'd ever do without mine. So you talk about her like she's a piece of property. Huh? To me, folks, she's God's gift from heaven to me. She sure enough is. She said, you want to keep an eye on that shirt you're going to wear because there's a little teeny hole about the size of an ink pen head there. I wouldn't be able to see to that. I'm blind as a bat without my glasses. Well, somebody else might be able to. She's just so worried about it. But Adam said, it's that woman that you gave me. Oh, how mankind seeks to justify themselves in the eyes of God and man. It doesn't make any difference, folks. When it comes to evil and sin and everything else, they just try to justify themselves. Look, we read these scriptures in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, folks. God's people have had the Word of God revealed unto them by the Spirit of God. When we heard the gospel, when God made it effective, folks, and unless He makes it effective, you're not saved. You hear the gospel? Christ died for your sin. He was buried and he rose again the third day for your justification. That's how personal God has made salvation. When God saved you, he didn't ask you about my sin. He didn't ask you about anybody else's. He said, you need to repent of your sin. And you need to trust in Christ, the living Savior. The Apostle Paul, I love that. He always preached the death and the burial of Christ Jesus. But he never, ever left him in the grave, as far as I know. He always preached the resurrected Savior. The things of God, we have not received the spirit of the world. Folks, that's what we have. That's what we had before we had the Spirit of God. We didn't have that Holy Spirit within us to help us. Now, mind you this. You know, God has given us a new heart, but we still have that old nature. As long as we're in the flesh, folks, we're still going to have that old fleshly nature. We're going to have that part of that will seek to turn away from God. We got to battle with that spirit every day. He said, "I'm in a warfare." He said, "I've got to fight with that old spirit of the flesh." But he was comfortable with that because I've got the Spirit of God in me too. We haven't received the spirit of the world, folks, but the Spirit which is of God. And that Spirit, folks, will teach us, I think I mentioned it the last time I was here, what to think about. You know, God's Word is so intrusive. God tells His people what to think. He tells His people when to think it. He tells His people who to look to. He tells His people who to be friends with. He tells His people who to separate themselves from. He tells His people all. Tell Him that, folks. Tell Him that. Because know this. We get to the Scripture here shortly. We're going to find out that every one of us is going to give an account for ourselves. Everyone. Say, well, you mean he's not going to listen? He said, well, you know, they caused me to do that. You're not going to be able to pull the old Adam trick on God, folks. It didn't work with Adam. He said, well, they did that, and I was confused about that, so I started doing it too. And they said they were saved by the grace of God. Folks, look, only God knows. And yourself, whether or not you're saved. I can look back and I can say if you have earnestly trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have done that from the heart and repented of your sin and trusted in Him, God said, I'll save you by my grace, He says. If you've done that, you're saved. But to know your heart for sure, God does. And I think that's the part we forget sometimes. That God does know our hearts all the time. We got to remember, folks. He says that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You know, I'm thankful here. Brother John said a while ago, he said, you know, you have freedom to speak here. And I know, folks, I'm not a great big, deep, long years scholar in the Bible. I'm not, folks. That's why I have to do a lot of praying before I do any preaching. So, Lord, I need that wisdom that only You can give. I need that wisdom that only You have to give to every one of us that we might serve You in spirit and in truth. They're freely given to us of God, which things only but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. It's time, I believe, for God's people, as well as our nation. I love when people say, we need to really pray for our nation, and we need to pray for the leaders. And you know, we may not agree with our leaders up there. Let me tell you, folks, you sometimes you just want to choke them until they're completely purple, and not let go until they just turn completely black. But you know who allowed him to be there? God did. Is God's purpose being served? Some way, somehow, folks. From that place up there that we call the White House and the other house, the House of Representatives and everything, all of those are there, folks, because God permitted it. Is His purpose being served? I believe 100%. Well, is that in the Scriptures? I believe 100%. I think it is. 100%. I really do. So we have that helps us not to teach and not to speak in the wisdom of this world, but as God leads and guides us. Without His Spirit, folks, you are not saved. I'm not either. Without His Spirit, we're not saved. God gave us the Spirit, His Spirit, the day we were saved by the grace of God. And He has worked with that through that Spirit through us from that day forward until we leave this old earth. And boy, I'll tell you something. I've pondered about that just a little bit from time to time. What's it like in heaven? I have no idea. I know God's there. I know God's glory is there. I know Christ Jesus is there. I know the loved ones that have left this life. I know there are some of them that died in Christ. Not all of them have, you know, folks. Not all of them have. People get that mixed up sometimes. They forget that in death, well, if you die lost, you stay lost. There's no salvation after death. There's no holding place, folks. There's no place for you to make yourself better or make yourself. People say, one of these days, I'm going to have me a good talk with God. Today is the day, folks, that God is talking to us. Talking to us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that. Say, well, you said He used His Spirit a while ago. The book of Hebrews tells us, folks, He speaketh to us expressly through His Son. Without His Son, we don't have the Spirit of God. So He's speaking expressly to us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. I love that. We need all the help we can get. I like the fact when, we mentioned again last time, I do that a lot, so you repeat yourself a lot, my wife will say. But some way, somehow, God is here. He is present with His people. Just the first two or three that gathered together in my name, God says, they're mine in the midst. Some way, somehow, God is with this church today, the gathering here, in a way that He's not when we go out into the world. He's meeting with us people today. He wants us to hear His Word. He wants us to see Him. Don't get me wrong, folks. He's still with His people every day. He never forgets His people. He's always with us. But in the church here, when He says, they're mine in the midst, folks, we need to really humble ourselves and remember that He's not in our presence, but that we are in His presence. Oh, that gracious God, folks, that called us out of sin and death and lifted up us out of the miry clay and set us on the solid rock. That's the one that's speaking to His people today. But the natural man, who is that? The lost man. The person that we used to be. The person that is without Christ. Say, well, you just preach a bleak, hard-nosed, whatever gospel where nobody can be saved unless they trust in Christ Jesus. Folks, that's the only way of salvation. I can't help that. And say, well, you're also preaching that only Baptists going to heaven. I never did preach that in my whole life. I never did preach that. I believe, folks, there's going to be just as many professing Baptists stand at the great white throne of judgment, not the judgment seat of Christ, folks. That's where the saved people are going to be. But I believe there's going to be more professing Baptists stand before God at that great white throne of judgment, and He's going to say unto them, the Lord Jesus Christ, depart from me. I never knew you. Sad. It's really sad. Folks, this is serious business. You know, people say, well, it's really not a business. Yes, it is. It's God's business. Even the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, wished you not that I be about my Father's business. It is a business. Now it's our business. Christ has done, went back to glory, And there He is on the right hand of God according to the Scriptures. And I believe the Scriptures, folks. And I use the King James Version. I don't use anything else. You mean you don't even look at the others? I don't think I need to. Mankind is trying to rewrite the Word of God where just anybody can understand. Do you ever hear people that you almost know are lost? Say, I've read that Bible through a dozen times. I know everything about it. But are you saved? No. Well, they don't know anything about it. You see, folks, as simple as you can make it, I believe God has right here. He has the simplest message of salvation. That little old gospel, that little old gospel message that needs to come out of the mouth of His people, folks, is the message that brings dead things to life. We have that in us. The lost man, they don't have the Spirit of God in them. They have no knowledge of Christ, no knowledge of God. They don't know what it means, folks, to walk in the light. They don't know what it means to answer for their own sin. They don't know what any of that means at all. They just don't. Because to them, they're foolishness. I mean, there's so many people, folks, probably drive by this church day in and day out and as service, and see cars out in the parking lot, see people standing around and maybe shaking hands out in the parking lot, thinking all of that's foolish. How foolish can them people be? You know, there's millions of people, folks, that denies the very existence of God, the one that they're going to stand before one of these days. They can deny Him all they want. They can deny Him all they want. It's not going to change anything. Those things are foolish unto them, and they can't know them. Why can't they know the things that we know? Because the Spirit of God is not in them to reveal it. God's truth is in us, folks, because His Spirit is in us revealing those truths. Their foolishness. Can't know them because they're spiritually discerned. And in Matthew chapter 7, Matthew in chapter 7, and I want to look in verse 13, a few verses in that chapter, Matthew chapter 7, and verse 13 and 14, it says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." We have this we have this teaching today, folks. It's of the devil, of course. We have this teaching today where people are picturing heaven as a big city on a hill, and there's a whole people going our way, and the Nazarene's going to go their way, and the Catholic's going to go their way. Folks, that's too broad. That's completely against the Scriptures. That's way too broad. God says broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And then you have a little old narrow way. Just a little. And it leads one way, folks. One place. To one person. To one purpose. That straight and narrow gate. That leads to life. What life? The life of Christ in us. That leads in us. I'll agree with you. You want a hard read? Go over into the book of Leviticus and read some of them genealogies, folks. And they sat back and said, who could ever name their child, one of their children, Hogla? Yeah, there's a young girl in there, her name is Hogla. Who would ever do that? And you want a good read? Go over and try to cipher out some of those names and pronounce them and everything. That's something. What's the purpose in that? Folks, you know what? We need to know where we came from. Well, we all come from Adam. That's a fact. We sure enough did. God created man in His own image. And here we are. We're still living in this old sin, on this old sin-cursed earth. It hasn't changed any since the days Adam was expelled from the garden, you know. And it's been such a beautiful place. I can't imagine. People speculate on it. Somebody says it's just a great big dome and everything else. Whatever it was, folks, it was possible with God. whatever it was. But I've yet to see in my lifetime, since the curse of the ground, I've yet to see in my lifetime a garden without a weed or a hillside without briars or anything else. But folks, that whole garden over there, there wasn't any of those things in it. And there was trees and there was fruit and there was everything. There wasn't any death, for sure. None whatsoever. It just been a perfect place. And people say, well, you really can't compare that to heaven. I'm not doing that. But could you imagine that place where Adam and Eve was? And that place where God came to them and spoke to them one-on-one, just like he would with us if we ask for his presence. You know, he won't physically come down here, but he's already with us spiritually. And you know what? We can talk to God. We can talk to God. If you need to talk to God, folks, you talk to God. How you talk to him? Like I'm talking with you, or like you would talk with me. You just got to acknowledge who he is. You know, Christ gives us such a model prayer. And I know he's got a model prayer, and a couple chapters over, he's got his prayer. But he said, when you pray, pray this way. Our Father who art in heaven. First of all, acknowledge God. We can do that in our heart. You can talk with God anytime you want to, about anything you want to. You can just talk with him like we talk to one another, like I mentioned. And God will actually talk back. He will not only talk, but he will show us what we need to do. He will show us how we need to do it. And he will help us do it. And sometimes, he will even do it for us. See, now that's what we like. Well, we like the part where we don't have any responsibility, where we don't have any work, where we don't have to do anything. Folks, God's people are called into service. I need to get on with this. And in our salvation, folks, God has received us unto himself. And we're called into a relationship with Christ Jesus. I mean, and there's some young people here today, and I know on the whatever that screen is where everybody, on that social media stuff, some people gets brave every once in a while and says, in a relationship. In a relationship. Don't you? Well, God has called us into a relationship as well. It's good to be in a relationship with God, folks. He cares for his own. He keeps his own. In Galatians in chapter 3, if you want to turn, Galatians in chapter 3, I try not to get too far ahead of people. We're with a foot markers in there that I'm there reading before people even get started looking. And we want to look in chapter or verse 26. Well, let's look at verse 25. It says, but after that faith has come, Galatians 3 and 25. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for we are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And that's another saying the world gets all mixed up, because they like to say, we're all the children of God. And we are not all the children of God. We are all the creation of God. But we are not the children of God. We're not. All of us are not. The whole. But, you know, you try to get away with that, and people get offended. Well, you're better than us, you think. No. We are not all the children of God. God has got his children. And folks, listen. God puts it so plain. There's no denying this. The devil has his. The devil has his. I believe, folks, I believe there's a heaven. I believe there's a hell. I believe it's a fiery pit of torment, everlasting torment for all of those that died without Christ. I believe that with all. I preach it, folks. It's a consuming fire. Hell is, folks. It's a place, and nobody wants to go. There's a man in the Scriptures talk about that. He said, Abraham, I've got five brothers up there. He said, I don't want them to come to this place. If you just send somebody back from the dead, they'll hear them. Abraham says, They won't hear them no more than they hear anybody else. He says they have Moses and the prophets. In other words, they had the Old Testament back then. Moses and the prophets. What did they preach? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If you got any proof of that, yeah, all the way back to the book of Genesis. Got proof of the Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We got proof of the victory over death, hell, and the grave. And old Satan, all the way back in Genesis. I don't want them to come here. So they won't believe Moses and the prophets. They won't believe someone if they don't send them back from the dead. Terrible, terrible place that I'm tormented in these flames. I don't know, folks. That's not anything we want for ourselves or our loved ones, is it? Oh, God, help us. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, Lord will. And if I live to bring another message here shortly, we are for sure the people of promise, folks. We are for sure the people of promise. Have you ever thought or pondered on, or just a little bit, to think about being an equal heir with Christ Jesus? I mean, folks, equal in the eyes of God. Okay, have you ever pondered on that? How through one man that we all died in, Adam, and yet one man, Christ, we live. And because of that, we are an equal heir with Christ. I mean, what's His is ours. That's just not possible, preacher. Look, folks, I love that we have a God that works with impossibilities. Amen. I'm thankful with all of my heart that we have a God that nothing is impossible with. I always thought to myself, every once in a while, that if the Lord could save me, He could save anybody. You know, the Apostle Paul, boy, he was guilty of murder. He was guilty of murder. He held the cloak of those that stoned Christ. You know, folks, he was guilty. He loved the job that he used to have. He said, I was going with papers from one place to another, seeking to lock up God's people. And on the road to Damascus that one day, he met with the Lord. The Lord came to him. The Lord knew where he was. The Lord knew where he was going to be. Just like he knew where we were going to be the day he saved us. He came to us. We weren't able to go to him. Now, see, watch out, preacher, because the Lord says, all that come to me I will in no wise cast out. Oh, I believe that with all of my heart. But you know, folks, until God made that Word of God effective in our heart, we were not able. We were not able to understand what any of that means. I believe God's got an elected people. I do that. I believe that with all my heart as well. I believe He keeps all of His people. I believe, as Christ said, I'll no wise cast out. He said, I won't lose one of you. And I don't believe He ever has. And I don't believe He ever will. So we have this, we've been baptized into Christ, having put on Christ. That's why God wants us to be Christ-like. Christ-like. You know, as y'all pray for a pastor, as y'all pray for one, and the Lord, He's got a pastor for you somewhere in His time. He's got a pastor for you. And when the Lord sends you a pastor, you know, we got to realize, folks, the pastor is a man called of God to be a pastor. He didn't take that calling upon himself. If he did, then you don't want him behind your pulpit. He said, yeah, I made myself a pastor. I went to school to be a pastor. And folks, unless God made him a pastor, then you don't want him. You say, well, that's selfish, preacher. You don't know his background or anything. If God don't call him, folks, you probably don't want him behind your pulpit as pastor. That is. Now, I don't have any. I'm not preaching against Bible colleges. Some of them don't preach, don't teach anything, folks, that will help in the day and time we live. God's people today need, folks, we need good, practical, biblical, principled teachings. That's what we need. We don't need words that we can't understand. We need simple words. The Apostle Paul said, told the Corinthian church, I believe, that y'all need to realize the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. The simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Folks, until we submit to the Lord, our life, until we submit to Him and His Word, we're not going to know how ever simple. We're not ever going to know how simple it is to serve a living Savior. We're called to be a godly people. We're called to be in Christ Jesus. We're called to be a separated people. So well, that's sort of selfish. You know, we can't choose our own friends. You know, Israel has tried that time and time again down through the past. You think about that nation, you know, and from the day he called them his people, he said, he said, you're my nation. He said, you will always be my nation. You're my people. You will always be my people. But look what Israel has done. We may look at that shortly. Look what they've done. They haven't even accepted the fact that Christ has ever come as a Savior. They haven't. They haven't, really haven't. But this church at Corinth, our church at Galatia here, folks, God says you are in Christ Jesus. Walk ye in Him. Walk in the light as He is in the light. Be that light in this world. You know, a lot of God's people, you know, they just quit coming to church. I mean, it's a nationwide thing, folks. You think the COVID was a hard epidemic to deal with? How about the epidemic of God's people stopping serving Him? How about that epidemic? How about that failure on mankind's part? How about that piece of history, folks, where God's people have departed from the truth? No, I don't have to go to church to go to heaven. Sure enough, don't. Church membership don't get you there. I don't have to be baptized to be saved. Baptism has nothing to do with salvation, folks. It don't change your heart. It don't wash away any sins or anything like that. It don't change your heart at all or a mind. Baptism doesn't save. Baptism, to me, folks, according to the Scriptures, is an outward show of an inward working that only God could do. We are, that is our outward show, folks, as we go into the waters of baptism, that we believe in His death and His burial, and we come up out of the waters of baptism to walk in newness of life. As He lives, so do we. Walk in newness of life. Hebrews 13. We will end this message, Hebrews 13. And we want to look at verse 5 and 6. Remember this when you talk with people. You know, it's a shame that pastors and deacons and church members have to go to other church members and beg them to come to church. You know, say, well, you know, we're supposed to exhort one another. Yes, we are, but we're not supposed to be a burden to the church either. We're just not. And I was pastor at Siloam Baptist Church for 22 and a half years, nearly 23 years. And I spent a lot of time exhorting, trying to convince people that were saved, say they were saved by the grace of God, to come to church. a lot of time, a lot of places. And so did other people do that. And that's so heartbreaking after what God has done, after His mercy and grace has been shown to us in such a great and a mighty way through the salvation that we have. Look, folks, He received you as you were. He called you as the sinner, lost and dying, that you were. No, this He didn't wait around for you to turn over a new leaf. He didn't wait for you to change your ways. He didn't wait for you to fix this and wait for you to fix that. He didn't do that. He saved you as you were, lost and dying and on your road to a devil's hell. That's what God does. That's how God works. And when He saved me, He saved me the same way. I was just an old hell-doomed sinner, folks. Nothing in myself that deserved any salvation whatsoever, any mercy from God. That grace, unmerited, that means undeserved, unworkable for, you couldn't work for it, or anything else, His grace, folks, was shed on us. Let your conversation be without covetous, and be content with such things as you have, for He has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And what should the end result of that be? God says, so that you may boldly say. Don't never be ashamed to say, God helped me through that. Don't you ever be ashamed to say, God healed my wife or my husband or my son or my daughter. Don't ever be ashamed that God worked that out for me. Don't ever be ashamed of your God, folks. Had it not been for you or Him, you'd never been saved. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to You this close of this message, Lord, we ask Your Spirit to work in the hearts of those that are here, whether we be saved or lost. Father, we ask for leadership and guidance. We ask for grace and mercy. Father, we ask for peace and comfort as Your people. And Father, we ask for those of our loved ones that might be lost, that You might save them by Your grace. Help them to see the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that You would touch their hearts and work that miracle of salvation in them. And we ask this in Jesus' name, and we thank You once again for this great honor and privilege. And amen.